This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 470 for Monday, November 7th, 2016. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I'm joined by Sally Draper in the flesh.
In the flesh and in the beautiful new, tell me what you call this place.
Welcome Center, Visitor Center, one of those. we're in Waukesha at the Center for Mission and Ministry. We've renovated the basement and like we had all along thoughts of putting the Synod archives down here, but we took it the extra mile and created just a beautiful welcome center where people can come down when they visit the CMM. So rather than just kind of wander the halls and look at office cubes, we have a place for them to come and there's timelines of the history of the Synod. There's portraits of different areas of ministry and what they're about. We have one of the initial pastors of the Synod. His desk is back there. We have a center where we can play a welcome video, some movie posters. It's just a beautiful setting. What do you think?
It is very, very nice. I want to come get the tour.
We'll have to do that for you.
And groups do come, so maybe people that are watching will have the chance to be here.
Absolutely, and you're always welcome. It would be helpful to ask ahead of time and let people know that you're coming, but get the grand tour and see this beautiful facility.
Definitely.
I'm really excited. And it will be probably a film location for some updates, and you'll see probably more of it if you watch your Wells news feeds and those kinds of things to see the beautiful sights that are here. So we're privileged to be able to do Wells Tech, the Welcome Center.
So. And episode 470, and we're back to our social media for ministry series, something we started this fall, and each month we're focusing on a particular social media platform, and this month we're talking Twitter and tweeting all about it.
Yep. Sal, you have to probably make an admission here. You're not the biggest of all Twitter users, are you?
I can't say that I am. I think it kind of ebbs and flows. I fall in love and out of love with different social medias, and this is one that I haven't nurtured as much lately. Yeah. I think when I'm in the ed tech mode, it's a really great place for teachers. And that's probably when I used it more was right. When I was following a lot more teacher streams and things like that. But it's a really great place for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, that personal learning network, that professional learning network, that PLN, probably one of the best tools for it. That's kind of how I use it. I do get questions from churches a lot about how to leverage Twitter in their church ministries or even school ministries. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I think the sweet spot of a social network like this, and we've talked about social networks in general, is still going to be on that one-to-one or that personal level, sharing your Savior, talking about your life through these social networks as it relates to your relationship with God or your relationship with your church or your Savior. But there are certain uses for it on the corporate level as
Definitely.
Well. We're going to kind of take the same format we've taken for the previous social networks we've talked about, which were Instagram and Pinterest. Now we're to Twitter, kind of the why, what, who, and how approach. And as usual, you've come through with a beautiful infographic.
Yeah, we've put together those 4 points in an infographic, and we'll just talk through that today. But anyone that wants to can head over to wellstech.wells.net and reference the infographic for the future. So if you're looking to start a Twitter account, this might be a good place to start and get some ideas, see who to follow and follow their lead, whatever it may be.
So let's start with the why. Why would a congregation or even an individual think about creating or spending some time building up a Twitter following, so to speak?
Well, I guess the first thing to start with is the numbers. And what I found as I did some research is that 23% of all online adults are using Twitter. So that's a fair number of people. I think somewhere along the line I saw 68 million Americans alone are using Twitter. And 38% of the people that use it visit the site daily. So they are very in tune and getting updates on a regular basis. So that is covering a lot of your current membership, or your current school parents, whatever the ministry may be, and also those that you want to reach for your future ministries, efforts and things. So the people are there, and I think that's a really good reason to pay attention to a social media platform.
Yep. Maybe another consideration when you're kind of asking the why question is what it's good for, and we'll kind of dive into more of that in a minute. But the very nature of Twitter is kind of a real-time experience, real-time updates, events. Your members are connected, just another communications channel. Mm-hmm. Think of it in the same way as you would think of email or even the print bulletin or mail or whatever. It is a channel where people are tuned in.
Definitely.
And an opportunity for people to connect through a channel like that.
Yeah, we've probably all heard the stories of breaking news. And I do tend to think if there's something that I heard and I'm not sure if it's true or not, I go to Twitter and I know people are talking about it there probably before it's hitting the news channels and things like that.
Same
would be true with people, and oftentimes those members that you're ministering to might be using that as a channel to share their breaking news, whatever that is.
Exactly. And then the last point we want to make, we kind of mentioned at the top of the show, and that's just that personal or professional development. Mm-hmm. If you follow the right people, there are a lot of lists out there. It really is a credible way to kind of build a resource that you can go back to day after day to find new stuff. What I find interesting is some of the people that we follow, you know, go to these conferences and whatever, you know exactly where they are because they're tweeting as they're sitting, you know, in a, you know, keynote address or a workshop or whatever, and it's almost like being there. They're kind of sharing links and some insights and quotes and whatever, just kind of a valuable kind of stream of information that is intriguing and kind of leads you to some newfound resources.
Definitely. Most major conferences today have a hashtag associated. Right. They advertise it and they want people to share information. So if you can't attend, that's a great way to follow what's happening there, for sure.
So that's the why. The next question is the what. What is it that you share? We talked about some of the real-time things, the updates, the events, those kinds of things. But there's all kinds of content, as we've talked about many times in the past, that a congregation would put together, a school would put together. I can think of just on the congregation level, you know, sermons are produced every week, mm-hmm. devotions, prayers, prayer requests, those kinds of things are all great candidates to be sent out mm-hmm. over that kind of communications channel.
Definitely, and then you can build people up also with things like verse images. We talked about Pinterest being a great place for that, but Twitter has that capability of attaching images as well.
Right.
And that adds so much to your message when you include an image with it. So definitely images as well. You also don't have to invent everything from scratch. You can follow great people and you can retweet, and it actually opens up a communication channel with the person you're retweeting because they get notified when that happens as well. And you can also include short videos on Twitter. So lots of different content types are supported. The thing you got to remember is you got to keep it short. So I'm not a huge fan of 5 or 6 words and then a big long link to go, you know,
check it out.
It's
not quite enough context.
Right.
Not enough information.
I think you need to work to refine your message and get it in their 140 characters, and then maybe include a link if people want to check out more information or whatever.
And as you're thinking about, as a congregation or as a church or school, as you're thinking about the what, kind of keep that retweet concept in mind as your members are maybe following your Twitter feed. They are can take advantage of the information that you're providing, whether it be a devotion, a thought, a verse of the day, where they simply retweet it. They don't have to come up with this stuff themselves. You as a congregation, as a school, are a resource for them. And that's the easiest kind of way to use these social networks. So.
Right. And teach your people that. Maybe that's what you were saying, but actually encourage them.
Right, that's the point.
Same
with, and we talked about that with Facebook as well, that a congregation's maybe having a congregational Facebook page isn't as important as providing content through your own congregation Facebook page that your members actually can leverage and use and send out. So that is the why and the what. What about the who?
Well, the who brings us to a really long list, and I would just encourage folks, we'll build these into a list in and of itself on our Twitter page for Wells Tech, but we have examples of churches, schools, organizations. I was just really kind of overwhelmed when I started looking at all the who's. And maybe I'll just share my screen here. I'm on Pastor Andrew Scher's Twitter account, and he's a pretty popular guy. He has over 6,000 followers on his Twitter feed. And what you can do is you can go and easily just click the button to follow him, and then it'll show up in your Twitter. But you don't even have to have a Twitter account. If you know his username, which for him, he's the author of the 364 Days of Thanksgiving.
Right.
His is 364 Days of Thanks. And you can go there and see what he's tweeting and follow it that way. You can also add him to list, so you can build a collection of Twitterers that you want to follow. There's lots of different ways you can make use of it. And if you follow him, then you can at mention his sign and send him a message. Or right there on his messages, you can hit reply and it'll send him a message.
Yep.
So lots of things built into Twitter to make it very conversational.
Yep, and his is a good example because he just doesn't use his name as his Twitter handle. He uses a concept, a ministry, so
right.
to speak. So there's that concept. And there's also the concept of hashtags. So as you're thinking about how to use it, there are different ways to kind of promote themes, events, those kinds of things with that specific hashtag. And that's probably what most people are familiar with when they're looking at promotions or commercials on TV, or if you're watching The Voice and you want to get involved and those kinds of things, that's how they do it. So let's skip down to the last segment here, and that's the how. And there's a lot of ways to quote unquote do Twitter, and there's a lot of ways to do it wrong and a lot of ways to do it right. I think one thing that I've noticed, like maybe all social media, Sally, is that people can kind of drift toward the negative side, the dark side when they're on social media, and that's when they use it. Obviously, as you are ambassador for Christ, you want to stay on that very positive side. Be engaging, energetic, positive, that this is your life you're sharing, or as a congregation, obviously, you're sharing something extremely important and positive. Just keep that in mind as you're kind of crafting your message and stay consistent with that.
Definitely. And imagery is a really great way to do that, to include positive imagery. Twitter gives you this huge space at the top. Their cover image area, I think it's like 1500 by 500 or something. That's a lot of space that you can use in a very positive way. Don't just ignore the fact that you can communicate with that image area at the top, and then with those images and videos that you can attach to your post as well.
Yep. A couple other things. We mentioned hashtags already. You can also do what they call at mentions. So it's essentially a way to tag somebody and let them know that you mentioned them, that you're conversing or responding to something maybe they said, which kind of leads me to the thought that sometimes you'll see Twitter accounts that have a lot of followers, but they're not following anybody. And that's kind of a choice you have to make. I guess I would encourage organizations to think about following as many people as possible, or as many accounts as possible, even if you really don't have an intention of kind of sifting through all that content, because it is likely that if you follow somebody, they may follow you back. And the whole point is to build an audience, right? To build the network.
And always remember to monitor your Twitter account. Don't set it up and then ignore it. You
right.
want to be consistent. You want to be regularly putting messages out. Even as I was vetting the people to list on our who's, I checked to see when's the last time they posted. Was it last summer or was it two
right.
hours ago?
Right.
Because people want content there. And the other side of it is people may be at mentioning you or talking about your brand, your church, your school, whatever it is. And so you want to be in the conversation.
Right.
That's an opportunity, even if it's not the most positive thing. It's an opportunity for you to flavor the conversation with salt and light.
Yep.
So
keep in mind, it's all public. It's all out there. Anybody can see it. So you have to just keep that in mind. And having those public conversations about something that matters is an opportunity that maybe we shouldn't skip over so lightly. So I think that's going to about do it for our conversation on Twitter. Again, we'll have a lot of links and examples, especially, in the show notes if you want to take a look at how some organizations are doing that. There's some neat, I think, uses of Twitter that you may not think of just right off the top of your head that would be good to look at those examples. So
definitely, and a few extra articles and things beyond what we included even in the infographics. So look for, 23 brilliant Twitter cover photo examples and 18 practical tips for using Twitter and things like that. So good stuff out there to learn from.
Get in on the good stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sally, should we move on to our news and tech, where we try and find some piece of information that's both interesting to us but has maybe some interest in a ministry context or productivity, whatever? What did we find this week?
Well, a couple of things. I'm not sure I have an article yet to link to, but I'll find one for the show notes. Just a brief mention that I heard LastPass is now all free. So in the past, LastPass regular account online was free, but if you wanted to use your LastPass account on your mobile device, you had to pay $12 a year.
Not a huge expense, but an expense.
Right, and they've taken that expense away now.
Right.
So
no
nothing
excuse
to
for
bear
that.
You.
That's right, no excuses anymore.
Yeah, and for those that aren't familiar, LastPass is a password keeper. The concept is it's the last password you have to remember. You get into LastPass and store everything else. It's very encrypted and secure and all that stuff, and then you're able to kind of forget your passwords and let it remember them for you.
Or let it create strong ones for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
So, really helpful in that respect.
So that was good news for me. I saved $12, so
okay.
I'm all for that. The other one that I have is a CNET article. It's titled, Your If This Then That Recipes Are About to Change. And recently, If This Then That, it's IFTTT, announced some changes that will be coming down the pipe pretty soon, mm-hmm. actually, where they're turning all the recipes into something they're calling applets. And supposedly it's pretty seamless. If you have recipes set up, they're supposed to convert to applets without any problem. They're also kind of consolidating their mobile applications because they had two different apps, and now they're mm-hmm. going to combine it all into one. And so just some changes to kind of be aware of if you're using If This Then That. Do you use If This Then That?
A few recipes, yeah. One that kind of converts, or actually brings me news, so I'll look up certain search terms that will come in on specific sites. So that comes into my email account so I can look those things up. There's some home automation things that I think it can be used for. How about you? How do you use it?
I actually use it with my mobile phone, which is probably my go-to camera, even though I have a nice DSLR. I'm always taking pictures with my mobile. And my favorite ones I usually put on Instagram. So I figured I don't want to back up everything I take pictures of, but if I Instagram it, then I want it to go to my Flickr account or whatever it is. And one thing about these applets is you used to have separate recipes. So if I want my Instagram pictures to go to Flickr, that's one recipe. And if I want it to also go up to Google Photos, that's another one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now it'll be one recipe that can send things to multiple places.
Ah, okay.
So that's a big improvement that
worth,
they're going to bake
worth
into
the price
it.
Of admission mm-hmm. right there. Yeah, it is very simple. I mean, it's a drag and drop. You click, the connectors and how you want them to work, and it's all in big letters. And I mean, it's
for dummies.
It's elementary level, yes. And
that's
I think,
what
it, but
I mean.
It's really powerful.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to our Wells Now section. And lo and behold, we probably want to let everybody know that the Synod has a Twitter account. It is Wells Tweets. I think I set this up long ago, and unfortunately Wells was taken. But I like this one actually a little bit better. Wells Tweets is the one that you want to follow. How many followers are there? I haven't looked lately.
2,200.
Okay, that's we can do better than that.
Definitely.
We have a lot more Facebook followers than that, so Twitter needs to catch up. So Wells Tweets, basically it's a nice stream of a lot of the same stuff that goes up on Facebook, but if you want to kind of stay up to date on devotions, anything that comes out, your worship helps, those kinds of things, but news, etc., mm-hmm. that all goes through Wells Tweets as well.
That's awesome.
So,
good way to stay connected.
Yep. And you mentioned the Wells Tech account. What is that Twitter handle?
That is Wells Tech. Really fancy.
I think I remember that one.
Yeah, Wells Tech Podcast is over at Wells Tech on Twitter. And wow, we've got an engaging cover image even on our account. That would be
just
Martin
like we're
and Sally.
Supposed to.
Yeah,
that's a younger version of ourselves.
Yeah, a few years back. Okay. So, but yeah, that's a great way to keep up with the shows because we do tweet every new show, every new episode as they're created.
Yep. All right, that brings us to our tips or picks of the week, a segment where we kind of pick something that has grabbed our attention over the week or something we find ourselves using mm-hmm. or wanting to explore a little bit more, and we always go ladies first.
Lucky me. So I was exploring Church Tech Today, one of my favorite blogs, and I came across an article about Canva for Work. So if you aren't familiar with Canva, which is not something I have up on my screen for some reason, I can't show it to you, but I forgot to open it. Anyway, if you aren't familiar, it's basically a desktop publishing type software. It's a blank slate where you can do a lot of creative design work. And it's not just up to you to come up with all that creativity.
Templates,
very professional yeah. templates. Mm-hmm. They provide in all different sizes and things. So they probably have one for Twitter headers. So if you're looking to make an engaging Twitter header, Canva might be a place you could go to do that. Anyway, they have kind of a level up now called Canva for Work, and it's a pay-for product. And it allows you to do more branding and things, save more of your content, apply different templates and things that are appropriate to help you with your branding efforts and stuff. And I just found out that Canva for Work is free for nonprofits,
sweet.
Which is quite a deal. So you can go over to about.canva.com/canva-for-nonprofits, real catchy
we'll
link.
We'll have a link in the show.
Yeah. Canva for Nonprofits, and they will allow you to sign, well, you actually, I think you create an account first, and then you circle back and, ask for the nonprofit status on mm-hmm. that account. And so, again, I can't say enough about the powerful and professional tools that are available in Canva, and then notching it up a level with the Canva for Work is going to benefit you as well. So
in your opinion, where does this sit in relation to PicMonkey and those kinds of tools? Is this a different genre?
Well,
same spot?
I would have said absolutely yes. PicMonkey doesn't give you any templates except some collage layouts, except PicMonkey just launched a template-based tool. You have to be a royal member to get that, though. So technically, Canva you can use for free without the okay. Canva for Work level. And so it's a different tool. It's a design layout kind of tool, but PicMonkey's going that direction as well.
Okay. So good news all around, I
absolutely.
Guess. Lots of different options.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Basically, if I wanted to prepare an image for use in Canva, I'd go over to PicMonkey to do that mm-hmm. right now.
So where's the application for congregations, schools primarily?
Well, if you want a beautiful Twitter image to put in your
there
Twitter
you
feed, you know, they're going to help you do it in a real engaging way.
Okay.
Lots of really nice templates for
and templates
social media
are really
type.
Critical, I think, for kind of prosumers, you know, people that maybe have some artistic talent, but, you know, they've never got any formal training or whatever and don't quite know, they're looking at a blank page and don't quite know where to start. So
mm-hmm.
let the right brain give it something to get going.
Right, and even if you don't.
These templates are really helpful. Same with Final Web and that kind of stuff. If you're designing a web page,
mm-hmm.
boy, it's just so intimidating to look at just a blank canvas and say, I don't know what to do.
And oftentimes you don't necessarily go with their exact layout,
right.
but it
becomes
gets
your own
the
over
wheels
time.
Turning. And
right.
You customize it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Great pick.
Yeah.
My pick of the week is a tip, actually, and I've been looking at Chrome a lot. I mentioned my pick last week was the Chrome box, and the tool that you use on the Chrome box to get to the internet or to do anything is to use the Chrome browser.
Mm-hmm.
So that led me to kind of research what Chrome has done lately. And this is the tip that I have is not anything that came out of, you know, any recent developments, but something that's been around for a long, long time, but I had forgotten. And that is to be able to simply bookmark a site by dragging the page, just drag the link from the top bar onto your desktop or onto a folder on your desktop, into a folder on your desktop. So if you're kind of overwhelmed or don't like the way bookmarks work, you got to kind of organize all those and you want just more of a traditional file, subfolder kind of mechanism, Chrome supports that, and most browsers do it the same way. So if you wanted to kind of gather all the links related to a particular topic that you're researching, let's say you're a teacher and you're doing a lesson, and you want to grab all the links related to whatever the subject matter is, you create that folder on your desktop, go to the website, drag the links right to that folder, and all you have to do to open the web pages is go into that folder, double-click the link, and it'll open up right in Chrome. So
pretty sweet.
It is nice.
I use that a lot, and I think the secret to it, and maybe people aren't aware of this, is to grab the icon that's
right
to the left of the URL. So in this case, it's a secure page. It's a lock. You would grab it and drag it. Mm-hmm. But and I'd already done that once, so it's given me a little message about that. But if it's not a secured page, it's usually just kind of an eye icon or something, and you can drag that. So it's all in that little icon. That,
yep. And then you can store and move them around. They're just little itty bits of files that sit in there, just hyperlinks to the page you want. And you can store them in your file system however you want. You can transfer them from computer to computer. You can share them, email them, those kinds of things. So very, very handy for that kind of stuff. Maybe even put them on a drive, a Google Drive, where kids can get to the links, et cetera. So I think you have lots of options. Another thing I found while, and this is kind of a bonus tip, that I had remembered too, but hadn't thought about for a while, is scrolling. You can use the trackpad, but sometimes that's not the most convenient, depending on what kind of tool you're using. But you can scroll a web page up and down just by using a space bar, a page at a time.
If your mouse isn't in the wrong place, you
right
can.
Look at that.
Look at
page
that.
Page at a time. And shift space goes back up.
Taught me something new today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of the thousand, down arrows or up arrows.
Yep.
It's just another way to quickly scroll through, especially a long, long web page. So
pretty sweet.
There you go. Two for the price of one. Speaking of great tools and tips, let's move on to ministry resources, and I bet this might be Twitter related as well.
It turns out it is.
we
thought
that
it was about time that we talked about our friends over at Concordia Technology, the CTS folks. They're the people behind Shepherd Staff and what is it, Member 360?
Church 360.
Yep. 360. Mm-hmm. So a lot of cool technology coming out of Concordia Technology. And recently I've been paying more and more attention to Concordia Technology's blog. And they tweet all their blog posts here at Concordia Tech is their Twitter name. And so if you're looking for someone to follow, highly recommend Concordia Technology, and then just engaging somewhat with their blog post. And
especially if you use some of their tools.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Church 360 or Shepherd Staff user, they talk about training events or web events that you can, webinars that you can latch onto. They have tips in there sometimes. Other articles, on using technology in ministry. So some of our favorite topics.
Yep. Don't let your communication be zombie-like. They've got zombies on the, and it looks like they're pretty standard with putting some engaging imagery with each one as well. So a good account to follow. So check out Concordia Tech on Twitter.
Very good. Mm-hmm. What's our featured video?
Well, this one is actually pointing to a Twitter page, so you'll have to head over to Twitter support to see this, but they have a really good getting started with Twitter page, and they've included, I don't know, five or six videos to teach
right
you how to do things like retweet and follow and search and hashtags and even more. So we just are going to recommend this page and all the videos on them. None of them are very long. Twitter's not known for
it's
long
not
videos.
Either,
nope.
Really.
But it's nice to watch them walk you through it. Very high quality, specific help that you can get here. So if you're brand new to Twitter, maybe today's the day you need to try it out. And this is a good place to start with the Twitter videos.
Yep, very good. Mm-hmm. Nice resource. Well, that's going to about do it for this week. We will be back at it next week. You'll be back in Minnesota, I'm assuming, and
yeah,
I'll be here as well. Community Feedback Week.
I always look forward to that. That's a lot of fun, and we've got a lot of great stuff stored up to share next
week. So if somebody out there wants to share with us, how would they do that?
That's a great question, Martin. We have this little website. It's called WellsTech at wellstech.wells.net, and we are all over the social media channels. So, send us a message if you're a Google Plus person or Facebook
person. That should be everybody's homework. between now and next week. Use Twitter to communicate with us.
That's right.
At Mention Wells Tech or hashtag Wells Tech, we'll find that as well.
Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you and include your ministry technology experience in our show.
Can be a question, can be a resource, a review, anything
you
want.
Whatever you got.
So, yep, and we'll share it. If you want to be anonymous, let us know that, and we'll try and honor that. We sometimes do that.
Unless you're related to one of us. And then, poor Debbie, she has no hope of being anonymous.
That's right. That's why she doesn't send us anything anymore. All right. Thank you, Sally, for being here. In town for a little, some team meetings that we're going to do.
Powwow.
So we're looking forward to that. And headed back on Friday, are you?
Definitely.
Came over in your newish Mazda.
Yep. We enjoyed zooming down the highway in the Mazda instead of a minivan. So that was a new experience for us.
Good for you. So thanks for being here. And thank all of you for being here as well. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.